hi, gay is not sin. And Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Now, just like to tell you a few things that we're kind of living in the last days, which means that you're a unique Christian. If you believe that you're a Christian, you're a unique Christian. There has not been any other Christian like the Christians that are Christians today. That's not to say that we're different or we're special or we're any particularly unusual. It's that you are alive right now. You weren't alive in your father's or mother's or grandparents' generation. And some of you are old enough that you're on the edge, but somehow or another you manage to live long enough that you are a last days Christian. Now when I'm talking about a last days Christian, that means when the rapture happens, you're going to, if nothing ever happened to you, you didn't have an accident, you weren't old enough to die of old age, you didn't have any diseases or anything, but somehow or another you are actually going to still be alive because you're young enough today. And so that if somehow you manage to get through everything, you're still going to be alive and the rapture happens. This is what makes you a last days Christian and makes anybody else not a last days Christian. Now there's some people that are going to die by accident and disease. They'll have wind a little bit of these are the last days, but they will die. So when they die, and if you're old now and you know that it's at least the generation that is alive, some people are going to be alive when Jesus comes, but it's not you, you're too old. You guys that are going to die are going to get a sort of an advantage like everybody, all the other Christians that ever died, which was basically all of them. What happens is you die and you don't come back to life. You're buried, your ashes are scattered, however it is, you ain't coming back. No near-death experience. You're gone. And if you do this step, and you still believe that Jesus is the Christ, the fundamental thing that, you know, the sinner's prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, your only Son. And that He came to earth and became man. And He climbed up on that cross and died for my sins. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. I believe you rose Jesus on the third day. That sort of fundamental belief, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He was born from a virgin. So it means that God's His Father marries His mother. Not to get anything more special about Mary, please. Mary is like you and me. But she had Jesus. So you believe that Mary was a virgin. You believe Jesus was and is God, and He became flesh, and then He died on the cross because He is without sin. He paid the price for your sin. That's why He came and that's why He died. Because He wanted to pay the price for your sins because you couldn't. Then God rose Him on the third day. This is the fundamental basic belief that if you hold till you die. Now, Satan and demons also believe that this is what happened. They certainly aren't going to be saved. There are those that are the enemies of Christ that believe who He is. They aren't going to be saved. What I'm talking about is you're a human being and you believe He's in your heart and you accept His work. That means you come to Him and you ask Him for forgiveness. Then, should anything happen to you and you die, you're going to go through something. The Bible calls it death's gate. So death, where's your victory? And death's gate. Or death, where's your sting? Death's gate, where's your victory? Because when you go through death's gate, there is something going to happen there. If you go in the park before death's gate, where you see all your loved ones, as it were, maybe some people like to say they saw the apostles or whatever, big picnic ground, all happy, everything, and then you come back, you didn't go through death's gate. Death's gate was out of your view at that point. For some reason or another, you got a near-death experience, as they call them, or something, and you didn't see heaven. You saw a place, a holding area, which is apparently pretty nice. Some people see something a little bit different, pretty scary. It's almost like they're going to hell. And some people say they see heaven and all that kind of stuff. And some people have quite the experience, see their whole life of sin or whatever, or whatever before their eyes and all that. You haven't gone through death gate. Seeing all your sins, like people say, that flash before you in this kind of a death experience that you have, isn't cleaning you of them. It's showing you, this is you, and so forth and so on. But then what happens is you come back to earth. You're drawn back into your body. Lots of people explain things. But there's only one thing that is sure, that when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, a symbolic, remember this, symbolic washed in the blood occurs. This means when Satan or any of the people, fellow Christians or other people, go before God and point the finger and say, you've sinned, and so forth, and Satan's up there and telling God, Steve over there, he just sinning like crazy. And God, He sits there, oh yeah, that's really interesting. Let me take a look. And God sits there, go look at Steve, and He studies him, and He looks at him, and looks inside and out and everything. And then He comes back to Satan, and He says, I really did a huge investigation of this Steve person you pointed out to me, and I didn't see any sin. All I can see is Jesus. Must be He's pretty good shape. You see, God isn't going to see your sins because symbolically, as it were, you're covered. Your sins didn't go away. You might, which the idea is and the belief is that you're going this way, straight to hell. Now, you didn't jump to heaven. You just simply did this. A 180-degree turn. I mean, you might have been a long ways towards hell. You got a long ways way to walk back. Some people got shortcuts. Some people go zigzag trail or whatever to get to the pearly gates. And nobody ever gets there sinless. We're going to sin every day of our life. Satan actually has the facts at hand. In a jury today, in a court today, you'd be convicted of your sins. Period. But God can't see that. So no matter what kind of court you bring that you're brought to, God's going to look down at you and say, I don't see any sin. I just see Jesus. And Jesus is without sin. I'm sorry. I quit you. This does not get rid of your sins. You're too filthy. The best things you could do are filthy rags to God. So you need to get washed literally. And this is why when you go and die, however did you die, and you believe, so when you die, you got the promise because you believe by faith. So you got an absolute guarantee of heaven. The only people that's got a guarantee of heaven is those that die and don't come back, still believing the foundational belief that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for your sins and God rose Him on the third day. If you die with that fundamental, you could have all these nasty old false doctrines and all kinds of other kind of stuff. You know, denominations got gobs of differences in some of their doctrines. You will have the promise, the guarantee that when you die, you go to heaven. However, you have your lifetime of these false doctrines on you. That is still there. It's still a terrible situation. And you kind of try to get your spirit body and whatever, and you just, there's got to be something going on here. And this is where we don't ever get the answer from, because nobody comes back from death's gate. They only come back from the park or the other activities that go on in front of the gate. So you can't see what actually happened. You could see your sins, maybe your lifetime of sins, but you cannot get rid of them. You could come back and try to live all the better. And lots of times, your idea of living all the better only makes your sins worse, because you have your idea of sin. And you got your list of sins. You don't have God standing by you and checking out your list and saying, yes, that's a sin. No, that's not a sin. Yes, that's a sin. God doesn't work that way. And you're not going to be able to get the Bible and do it, because you're going to say, look, it says this is sin. But you have your interpretation and your idea of the complexity of that word that you're saying is indicating something sin. You're not to be judges of things you don't know anything about, and you don't know enough about sin to be able to clean other people of it. You're supposed to be a minister, a witness. You're supposed to tell the story that God did in your life, that Jesus did in your walk with Him. You're supposed to tell the story of why Jesus came. Because what you're doing is giving the opportunity for God to do His thing through the Holy Spirit and draw people to Him so that they can be born again. You could be a great teacher, but if you don't go get the facts, then you're a false teacher. If you only preach parts of the truth, and then the rest of it is your wishes, you're not teaching something. You're heaping weights on the people. The gay issue is a really good example, because most of you that condemn gays have no clue what you're talking about. You are assuming a verse. You don't know the history of the verse. You don't know what the people were doing walking around when Jesus was here or Moses was here. You can't even give even a glimpse of what was going on around that verse that you're using. Because it's not in your interest to find out anything about it. You don't want to. You don't want gays to go to heaven. And so you won't pay attention to what you need to do. But you will certainly tell other people, there's the verse. Well, you got lots of traditions of men, you got culture problems, you got false doctrines. You're pretty filthy. And you're not going to get your spirit body. You're not even going to get into a point of light or whatever it is where you're waiting for the dead to rise first. You know, you die, well, you don't get a spirit body because the dead didn't rise first. And so, when you actually go through death's gate, it's a wash machine. Maybe it's a tunnel. You start at one end and you get scrubbed. Or you ought to be glad that you're not alive. You've got to be happy that you're dead, because you're guaranteed that you're going to survive this washing machine, because this is the time you're literally washed in the detergent of the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you get to through the death gate or some point in that area, you're going to come out clean enough to be that little spirit of light or whatever it is where you sleep or whatever, you wake, something. You can go out into the park and talk to your near death. I don't know. That stuff is up for grabs of what you want to do, but you're going to have to get washed in the blood of Christ. And then you could be in the position to wait for your spiritual body when the dead shall rise first, and then we which are alive will caught up. Now, we which are alive got a different problem on our hands. Lots of you just love this idea that you got a guaranteed ticket to heaven. You don't have a guaranteed ticket to heaven. You've got some absolute guarantees that Jesus will never, ever, ever forsake you. He just won't. I dropped my remote. He just won't forsake you. That's one of the things that you could probably say, once saved, always saved, if you base it on Jesus forsaking you, or if you base it on anybody can take Jesus from you. This can't happen. But you never lose your free will. You never lose your free choice. You could choose whatever you wish. Don't play the game that God will protect you against the elements that be around in the world. He's given you a brain. You're the one that went to school up through kindergarten to 12th grade. You're the one, lots of you, that went to college. You're the one that is choosing your career. You may have committed it in prayer to God, but you make a lot of choices. What car am I going to get? This or that or the other? Hey, I had a miracle a couple of days ago. You know, my car's in the shop. So I need a car for about a week. Well, you know, it's all paid for and everything. I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. But I went to the car rental place. You know, I'm looking at all the cars on anything that I want. However, before I went to the car rental place, I said, God, you know, we've been thinking of a PT Cruiser or something. You know, why don't we test drive it, kind of? This is a good opportunity. So God, hey, you know, we're going to go over. Give me a PT Cruiser. We drive over to Enterprise, and I don't know if it's Enterprise, in one of those rental places, they didn't have anything. They had a lot of cheap cars, a lot of other ones, one they were trying to give us and everything, but they didn't have any PT Cruiser, you know. Prayer was sort of a little bit of a joke, you know. I mean, sure, God, you know, I meant it, you know, like to, you know, at least, you know, test drive it, see if I really want to buy one later on and not for a second car. And, well, there wasn't one. So, you know, okay, who cares? Doesn't really matter, you know. Didn't give a whole lot of notice to God and everything, but it doesn't particularly matter. And so we're filling out the paperwork and everything. And I look out the window, there's a PT Cruiser. Drive it in. It went too far, but I saw the driver looking over at Enterprise. I think it was Enterprise. So, and then he turned around, came back in. So we asked him, you know, we'd like that car. So, well, he'll check it out to see if it's really available. It was available. We had that. We drove home in it. So quick, you can ask God for things. Now back to this thing about you being alive today. And you have your guarantees and the promises. God will answer your prayers. He will deliver you from things. He will help you, but he will never forsake you, and nobody can take you away. But you can choose. I chose the kind of car I wanted to ask God to help me, and he did. You could choose. You could turn on a documentary or see it in news like a couple of weeks back, and Read how they discovered the tomb of Jesus. And the bones are on there. And look at how could you not be? It had all his family in there, basically. And, you know, lots of us that do a little research can know right away it ain't Jesus' tomb. There are some facts that you cannot dispute. You know, others of us that's even done some even more study knows Satan is a counterfeiter. And Satan will take as long as he needs to plant counterfeit. The modern version Bibles are Satan's counterfeit that was planted in the second century. All the books of the Bible that are good and right from the originals also was translated into Latin Vulgate in the second century. But somehow or another, something particularly was done to have the same selection of books counterfeited. And at some time in that second century, these manuscripts were translated into Latin Vulgate. The second century! It took to the 15th century before they became seen again and made official Catholic Bible. Then it took to the 18th century before Westcott and Hort got them to be the official Church of England Bible. Then it took till the 19th century, or 20th century, 1946, before it became counterfeit Bibles, which we call modern versions. And since then, we have a million kinds of modern versions, with 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions. And most of you like modern versions. You're making a choice. And you won't study. Where did the versions come from? I can give you a shortcut. Westcott and Hort. If you don't know the shortcut, you could put Bible versions or something as you search the internet for answers. We're full of filth. And we are making choices, and things are going to happen, and we're going to be able to choose to reject Jesus. Huge numbers, huge, maybe as many as two-thirds of you are going to reject Jesus. Now, God has prepared an army of people that will come and reconcile you, not the 144,000, not the two witnesses, but there is a vast army of believers that are being trained to go out and bring you back, those of you, of the two-thirds of you that are going to reject Jesus, turn your backs on him. Now you might say, you'll never, I don't care what you'll say to yourself, because I know something. You think modern versions are the Word of God. You think so many things going on in the world is God's doing. You think that your church or whatever is pure or something, even though you could say, yeah, they got false. But I'm talking about specifically, purposely supporting the Antichrist. People, we have 1,260 days of us that are living to get shaken, to be washed in the blood while alive. Dead in Christ got shaken while they were dead. We won't. Not going to be a fun time. 1,260 days of being washed in the blood while we're alive. One-third will come through this. If you don't know Jesus, turn and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and that God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Version. See you next week.